Hello, I'm Sophie and welcome to the Hospice Podcast from St John's in Lancaster. Today we're going to talk about wills, so we're joined by Liz. Liz is our Wills and Relationship Manager. Welcome to the Hospice Podcast.
Thanks very much, great to be here.
So I'm going to dive straight in. Do you really need a will? I mean, lots of people don't have one, so if you die without one, is it the end of the world? What happens?
You're absolutely right. Lots and lots of people don't have a will. Well over half of adults in the UK currently don't have a will. Frighteningly, that's about 30 million people. If you die without a will, you just can't guarantee that your wishes will be carried out. It also minimises any family arguments or disputes. I'm sure we've all heard about those going on.
Absolutely.
About your estate. It also gives real certainty at the time of your death. If you die without a will, there are certain rules which dictate, and it is very much a diktat, okay, about how the money, property or possessions should be allocated. And some circumstances are really circumstances that you would not want to be in without a will. So one of those, for example, is an unmarried partner or a partner who's not registered a civil partnership. They can't inherit from each other unless there is a will. So the death of a partner, which is, you know, such a terrible time anyway, can also be very concerning for those involved because it can create serious financial problems for the remaining partner. So the short answer is absolutely, you know, please, if you haven't already done so, make your will.
So Liz, you mentioned there about financial implications. I'm sure there are psychological implications as well if you're involved in trying to get yourself through the mire of sorting things out without a will to follow.
Absolutely. It can be a torturous process, to say the least. You know, losing a loved one is hard enough as it is without the added challenge of, you know, trying to sort out or trying to sort through a situation where there isn't a will.
You mentioned the word estates. Now, I'm going to ask you this. Are wills for people who've got a lot to leave? So what about someone who feels they've got nothing of value to leave? So when I hear the word estate, I think about a big country pile and I think, oh, I'm not sure that would be relevant to somebody like me.
Yeah, I think that's a really common misconception. What I would say is that absolutely everybody has something to leave. So one of the main reasons that people give for not making a will is that they've got nothing worth inheriting.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something that's precious and important to them. There may be no monetary value to it, but there's real peace of mind to be had from knowing, for example, that you've left clear instructions about who's going to look after your children or any vulnerable adults that you may be responsible for. You know, what happens to items of sentimental value?
Definitely.
You know, we've just benefited in our hospice shops from somebody who really kindly left them their pride and joy, which was their Canon camera. But for him to be able to leave that to us meant a lot to him, and it was great for us to be able to help him fulfill his wish. So gifts and wills aren't just about leaving houses and large sums of money. Every gift left is thoughtful, generous, greatly appreciated regardless of its size. And obviously, you know, if you can leave a donation to your local hospice, St John's, after you've remembered family and friends, then rest assured that whatever you can afford, however big or small your gift, it makes a real difference to us.
So that's really interesting and really useful to hear. It's about the sentimental items as well, isn't it? And I'm sure that can also avoid any family disputes or upsets afterwards if it's clear, for example, who the grandfather clock goes to, who that wedding ring goes to. It's not about what the clock or the ring is necessarily worth in monetary terms. It's the sentimental and emotional value that you want that, you know, the right person to have that item.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, without giving it too much of a plug, I think for those of us who watch The Repair Shop on BBC, you know, The Repair Shop is all about those items that mean the world to people that probably have no monetary value, but, you know, they're very, very special.
So Liz, keeping with the monetary value theme, is it expensive to make a will? Because I hear all sorts of figures bandied around.
Yeah, all sorts of figures bandied about. What I'm probably going to say is compared to the cost of many, many items, making a will is not expensive. However, it's very often way down people's to-do list. We can actually help with the cost of making a will here at St John's Hospice. We've got a supporter will scheme which makes making a will accessible to everybody. How that works is that we're very, very lucky in that we've got fantastic support from a number of local law firms.
Great.
Who waive their usual fee in lieu of a donation to our hospice. If you prefer an online option, we've also got a partnership with a company called Fairwill. And again, no obligation to do so, but there is the opportunity to give a donation to the hospice through Fairwill. So absolutely no obligation, mm-hmm. But a will is far less expensive to make than many people think. And I think that that's very often a reason for somebody not
doing it. There is the cost of making a will, but also there's probably a cost of sorting things out if there isn't a will with clear instructions, isn't there?
Yeah, and I'd probably go so far as to say that that is going to cost you a heck of a lot more.
I'm going to ask you about, is it difficult to make one? Because when I hear the word will, I think of paperwork, reams of documents, reams of paperwork. I'm not a paperwork person, Liz, as you know. Is it difficult to make one?
No, you and me both, nobody likes paperwork, nobody likes admin. Making a will's neither frightening or difficult. If you use our supporter will scheme, our wonderful solicitor partners guide you through the process with great care, making sure that you fully understand exactly what's at stake and really expertly answering any questions that you may have.
Great.
All I can tell you is that the people that I've spoken to who have finally got round to getting over the admin and the paperwork hurdle, you know, when they finally got round to making a will, they've felt nothing but relief at having done so. And it's one of those things that you can then put in a brown envelope in a safe place, knowing that you've got the peace of mind that it's been done.
And I'm going to suggest, if that's okay, that safe place, whether it's in a brown envelope or not, make sure you tell someone where that safe place and that brown envelope is. Because I've been in this situation before where people have said to me, she said she made a will, I don't know where she put it. So I'm going to plug on with Liz here. If you do make a will, make sure your nearest and dearest know where it is.
Yes, I think that is a good idea. Not everybody wants to do that. Okay. You know, a will is still considered to be quite a private document.
Yeah.
And it remains private, I guess, unless and until what's called a grant of probate is issued. Once that's issued, the will becomes a public document.
Sure.
So anybody can have a look at it. But I think in general, yes, if you let somebody know where your will is, I mean, for example, you know, I had a fairly, I think I got more upset than he did, but my dad did the old, you know, this is the paperwork that you're going to need. This is where it is. This is the envelope where it is. It's not an easy conversation.
No.
Each person's circumstances are different. The choice as to whether they share their will with family members or close friends, quite simply, it is theirs. But again, you know, I'm going to use the phrase a lot. Most people have greater peace of mind knowing, A, that the will's made, B, that their loved ones know where it is. And the other really good idea is that once you've made a will and you've you've named your executors. In other words, you've decided who's going to make sure your wishes are fulfilled. Make sure that they know that they have been named as your executors. That's always a good idea as well.
So, executor, jargon. Can we talk jargon? So, what is an executor?
So, an executor is the person that you put in charge, if you will, of making sure that what's in your will is carried out, that your wishes are fulfilled. A lot of people nominate their solicitor to be their executor. Other people name two family members. So what I can tell you is for mine and my husband's will, it's both of our brothers who are our executors. And we've chosen them because we know that they will honour exactly what is written in our will and make sure it's carried out.
And I totally take that. And me personally, I've gone with your first option. So when I sorted my will out through the St John's will scheme, I asked the solicitor, you know, the solicitors are my executors. So you're right, there's a choice, isn't there? I think it's just about being really clear and trusting the person, isn't it, who's going to be your executor.
Yeah, definitely. And sorry, I probably wasn't as clear as I should have been. Our two brothers plus the solicitor.
Okay.
Because I think then you've got a very professional voice in the room.
Yeah.
And for me, that again gave peace of mind. Just back to jargon and
because there's, please do, because there's a lot of it.
Making a will can be riddled with jargon. Going to point you in the direction of our hospice website, which has got a great jargon buster on it. You know, we hear terms like legacy, gift, estate. It's a lot more simple than it seems, in that a bequest or a legacy, just two different ways of referring to a gift in your will, and your estate simply is the total sum of all of your possessions, property and money, you know, that might include any life insurance policies or any shares that you might have. So it's what you've got, basically.
Yeah, so policies, the new microwave, you name it.
Yeah, you got
it. The totality. Yeah. We're not about country piles here, are we?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We had we dealt with a will for a younger patient of ours, and it was most important to him that he knew who was going to be getting his PlayStation. That was what was important to him.
Yeah.
And you know, just great to see that his wish was honoured.
Excellent. Thank you, Liz. So, we're encouraging people to make a will. Before you get to the solicitor, if you had to pick three things you think someone making a will should consider, what would they be? So if I was seeing a friend of mine tomorrow evening and she said to me, right, I need to start thinking about making a will, are there a few things that you would point people in the direction of thinking of?
Yeah, there are. I think there's a very practical list of things to think about. I think there are things like my assets, you know, back to the estate. What have I got in very practical terms? We've talked about executor. Who would I like to appoint as my executor? And, you know, really importantly, who will I name as my children's guardian if it applies? You know, all of that is really important stuff. But I guess what I would also suggest that people think about is what's important to you. Think about the causes and the charities and what you care about, because your will is the chance to think about how you would like to be remembered. It's about your legacy and what you are leaving for your family, your friends, for future generations, but also, you know, what are you leaving to the causes and charities that you really, really care about? That's very important to think about.
And as you said before, for the young gentleman that you were working with recently, for him, his legacy is his PlayStation.
Absolutely.
That was what was important to him.
Yeah.
So, bearing in mind this could be simpler than people think it is, do you need a solicitor? I do see little things pop up get your will done for $19.99 or whatever, do you actually need a solicitor or a supporter will scheme or fair will?
So there's no need for a will to be drawn up or witnessed by a solicitor. If you wish to make a will yourself, you can do so. However, you should only consider doing this if the will is going to be straightforward. And then you're going to get into the realm of what's straightforward and what's not. We offer a solicitor free version through our online Fair Will service. Telephone support is also available with this.
Okay.
However, my advice, for what it's worth,
and it is worth, because this is your full-time
would always
job.
Be to go through a solicitor if possible. It's beneficial to use a solicitor when making a will, as, again, here's that phrase again, peace of mind.
Yes.
It will be done professionally and accurately, making sure everything is sorted for those you leave behind.
Yeah, because again, I think from some of the conversations that you and I have had and our listeners will have had, when you're dealing with the death of someone and there isn't a will or things aren't straightforward, it just makes it so much more difficult, doesn't it?
Yeah,
as,
absolutely.
As you said, at a time that is already really difficult.
Yeah, and the solicitors that we deal with are a professional, warm, approachable set of people. And, you know, I think that's what you need at a time like this. You know, making a will can be a little bit upsetting for people. It sort of brings to the fore things that maybe people don't want to think about just yet, but it's important to do that. And I think that a solicitor's careful stewardship of the process and the help that they can give is absolutely invaluable.
And it's those extra questions that can be answered, isn't it? And as you said, that peace of mind, that reassurance, it's done, it's sorted, I've got something really important and I've actually done it.
Yeah.
You mentioned before, Liz, about, you know, for example, charities, causes, and we will mention this because obviously people do leave gifts to the hospice in their wills, don't they? If people made a monetary, or sorry, gave a monetary gift in their will to St John's, what sort of thing could it buy?
all manner of things. I think the first thing to say, back to the, you know, do I need a country pile? Do I need a massive amount of money in my bank account? Just to be really, really clear, every single gift matters to us. No matter the size of your gift, it will have an absolutely vital impact on our work. To fund the hospice for a day is £11,000, and that's after we've taken off the funding that we get from the NHS. So, you know, what can a gift contribute to? Nursing hours, clearly, the care that we give our patients. Nursing hours are so important to us, but gifts in wills also contribute to lots and lots of other really important things, like fuel costs.
Yes, definitely.
You know, our amazing hospice at home team cares for about 160 patients out in the local community. So putting petrol in those nurses' cars is really important. It can contribute towards a healthcare assistant, providing day or night sits to give a carer some respite.
Yeah, those night sits are so important to people, aren't they?
Yeah, they make such a difference to people. Obviously, it can contribute towards equipment for our inpatient ward, but also, you know, really, really key things like summer plants for the gardens, so that the patients who are with us can enjoy them from their own bedrooms. We've got our amazing Forget-Me-Not Centre. You know, a gift in a will can contribute towards toys and play equipment to help children and young people build resilience to help them cope with bereavement. And then back to those nurses, you know, out in all weathers, every day of the year, you know, it might even contribute towards new fleeces or new jackets.
Yeah, when they're out in the middle of nowhere and in the middle of winter.
Yes.
We've seen them go off and do that a number of times, haven't we?
Yeah, we certainly have.
That's really helpful. And it's really good to hear you say that, because somebody was talking to me about a contribution of £50 the other day, and they were saying, oh, £50, it's not much, you can't really do a lot with that. And I was like, oh, yes, I can.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I can.
Yeah, just What I want to be really clear about is that including a gift in your will to St. John's Hospice, it doesn't mean that you're neglecting your family and friends.
Well, you were clear about that earlier. After friends and family, I think was the term you used.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, but every gift matters to us.
So let's get controversial. What happens if you've made a will and you change your mind or circumstances change? Because let's face it, they do, don't they? So I've made my will a few years ago. Circumstances have changed. What happens next?
Okay, so probably to be controversial back, I'm going to say that ideally, and people might roll their eyes at this, I think you should probably review your will every 5 years.
Every 5 years, yeah. Okay.
Because as you've said, circumstances can change, yeah, and a will should be updated accordingly. But that's not a huge inconvenience. So a change to a will, here's another bit of jargon, is referred to as a codicil. And what a codicil allows you to do is to make small amendments to your original will without having to rewrite it from scratch.
Gotcha.
Okay. If there are several amendments that you want to make to your will, and we've actually got... I know that a solicitor was telling me just recently of a lady who goes in to see him every month. Yes, you heard that correctly.
Every month.
Because she sits and thinks about who she's left various pieces of furniture and pictures to, etc. And she changes her mind fairly regularly. So she has a number of codicils to her will. If there are several amendments, then what I would recommend is that you make a new will altogether, so there aren't no inconsistencies.
I'm thinking of those things that happen, the arrival of a new grandchild who might not have been mentioned in a previous will, a piece of family jewellery that's given to you that you think, actually, when it's my turn, I would like that to go to such and such. They can be quite simple things, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, there
where
are...
You want to make sure no one's left out.
That's right. And there are markers in life, aren't there?
Definitely.
You know, you meet the new love of your life, you move in together, you might buy a property together, you may start a family, you may start a business. You know, there are lots and lots of life events, a new grandchild, as you say, or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, dare I say it, family fallouts, they can sometimes
lead to
a rewrite of a will.
Yeah.
You know, there are lots and lots of different markers in life and life events that should mean that people are making changes to the will that they've made.
But meanwhile, a mental note in your mental calendar every 5 years, and it may be that nothing needs changing, but
yeah,
trying to keep on top of things, like you do with everything else.
Yeah, just a quick read through. Am I still happy with it? Yes, I am. Back into the brown envelope it goes.
Excellent. So in terms of the actual will, and I know you're not a solicitor, Liz, but in your experience, when people are leaving gifts, do they normally suggest specific amounts or percentages? And there's obviously no right answer to this. I'm just thinking, you know, if somebody's listening to us and think, I'm going to make my will, is it that people say 5% here, 10% there, 3% there? Or do they tend to say £300 there, £500 there, etc.? Do you know if there's a better way to do this?
So in my experience here at St. John's, most people leave what's called a residuary legacy, which
that
is
sounds
a
posh.
It sounds posh, it's jargon again.
Whoa.
Which is a percentage of their estate. Okay. So a residuary legacy, here's the more simple way of describing it. It's a gift of the remainder or percentage of your estate after all the other gifts and legacies have been made and debts are cleared. The benefits,
that's a really good thing to mention. Yes.
Yeah. So things like debts, obviously sometimes a funeral will need to be paid for. You might have a little bit of outstanding council tax.
Yeah.
So once all of the other gifts, you know, you of course you're going to have remembered family and friends first.
Yeah.
But then what's left, if you will, that then becomes the residue.
Okay.
So residuary legacies, the good thing about them is that they keep up with inflation and they are a really effective way to divide the value of an estate between either a number of people or charities or causes that are important to you. Dealing with your residue is really, back to what I was saying earlier, it's your opportunity to think, who do I as a person, what's important to me, what do I care about, you know, who's done right by me during my life, who do I want to say thank you to?
Yeah.
That's what you deal with through a residuary legacy. The gift of a fixed sum of money is known as a pecuniary legacy. And the only slight issue, I think, and again, it's my personal view, that the issue with the pecuniary legacy is that, of course, the value of it decreases over time as the cost of living increases.
So what £100 is today, in 10 years' time, might be worth something quite different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whereas the percentage is much easier to deal with.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally get that.
Yeah.
Liz, as I always do on these podcasts, I fire questions at people, and always you or whoever it is in the position of thinking, actually, I want to talk about this and she's not asked me. So what haven't we talked about that you believe our listeners should know?
So what I want to talk about...
So you have thought about it, haven't you? I have
thought about it, because for me, making a will is about far, far more than jargon, technicalities, legal. I guess what I want to leave you with is the thought that most people will have been touched by a charity at some time in their life, whether you've been supported directly by a charity yourself or have seen a charity support a friend or relative. It's really easy for all of us to see the impact that charities have on our lives. But a lot of people are not aware of other advantages to saying thank you to your favourite charity by leaving them a gift in your will. I'm going to get technical now, having said all of that, because what people don't often know is that by making a charitable donation in your will, you can reduce your inheritance tax bill. And who doesn't like paying a bit less tax than they actually need to? So if you make a gift to charity, the net estate is reduced by the amount of that gift. So in theory, making a charitable donation reduces the amount of inheritance tax payable. Our lovely, lovely solicitors can give valuable advice on this.
And to interrupt you, this is what you're not going to get off a website, is it?
This is what you're not going to get off a website. And so that's key. You know, making a charitable donation can reduce the tax burden on what you're leaving. And then I think the final thing that I want to say is that, you know, again, all gifts matter to us here at St. John's Hospice. And it's really, really special when someone remembers us in their will, and their legacy is treated with enormous respect.
Yes.
Supporting us during your lifetime is one thing. You know, we've got amazing supporters who donate to us week in, week out. But making a statement that you're going to support us after you've gone can really deepen the bond between us. Our legacy supporters are a very, very special group of people.
So you're saying final. I'm going to go for the triple final. I might lose count here. But for our listeners today, what's the one thing that they can do today to start this process if they haven't already made a will?
So the one thing you can do is dead easy. Give me a call. Send me an email. My contact details are on the website. Reception always know where to find me.
They do.
I'm in the hospice most days, but, you know, pick up the phone. Let's start that conversation.
Yeah.
The feedback that I get pretty much every day is, my goodness, that was a heck of a lot easier than I was expecting it to be.
I would agree. As somebody who, as I said before, sorted my will out a few years ago, I'd left it and left it and left it. It's going to be too complicated. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have an open conversation, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to cost too much. It didn't cost as much as I thought it would, because I went through the hospice will scheme and you know, the solicitor did it for free, therefore, in return for a donation which was given to the hospice, the whole thing took under an hour. It was a mirror will, so when I go, everything went to my husband, or if he goes first, everything goes to me, the rest is history. And we walked out of there, and my husband said to me, if I'd known it was going to be that simple, you could have taught me around to doing that years ago. But it's the word, isn't it? So I think for me, who's you know, I'm not you, Liz, I don't have your knowledge and your understanding. So for me, as you know, person in the street, I would say, it's not as difficult as you think it is. And every time somebody now mentions wills, or they're on the wrong side where they're left dealing with the problems, if wills aren't left behind, I do feel a sense of relief, and not a smugness, but a reassurance. When I go, the people that I leave behind won't have that to deal with, because my instructions are super clear.
It's back to peace of mind, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we all need that, don't we?
We certainly do.
Liz, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
Thanks a million. And from the Hospice Podcast, goodbye.
If you feel this has been helpful to you and will be useful for someone else, please do share it. We'll be with you again soon, talking through a different palliative care subject. To make sure you don't miss the next one, simply choose the subscribe option. Thank you for listening today.